Jason, the Bears have a new head coach, and he got to meet the media, which means us, on Wednesday. Coming up, we'll talk all about Ben Johnson and what it means for the Bears on Halas Intrigue. Hi, I'm Patrick Finley. He's Jason Leisure. Jason, we got to meet Ben Johnson today. He had a media gathering at Halas Hall, followed by a little chat with Caleb Williams, and we talked to Ryan Poles and Kevin Warren and George McCaskey exactly 2 weeks after they gave their "this is what we're looking for" press conference. Do you think they found the right guy?
I think they found the guy that everybody else wanted. And when you're looking at the Bears right now, the Bears have been telling you for a long time that they're different, that they've changed, that they're run by different people. And they are, but they've made a lot of the same Bears-like moves. You see that they hang on to Matt Eberflus longer than they should. They make a terrible hire in Shane Waldron. But in the past year, you know, if you look at some of the most important parts of a team, in the past year, they got the quarterback that everybody wanted, and now they got the coach that everybody wanted.
It's a good place to start. The Bears doing the obvious thing. George McCaskey said today, you know, it's rare that the most popular candidate is also the best candidate, and that's what they think they found in Ben Johnson. To get there, they had to throw a lot of money at him. But they were coming from a position of strength. He explained today that when he started his interview with the Bears, he said, "This is the job I want." And, you know, he said later that the appeal of going to a team like the Raiders that didn't have a GM and that would allow him some say in picking one wasn't necessarily high on his list of things. The Bears just lucky that they found a coach who comes to Chicago to go to games at Wrigley every summer and always thought it'd be cool to live here? Or do they get some credit for selling this the proper way?
Well, they're not lucky. I mean, they had something that he really wanted, which is a young, promising quarterback. And whatever your view is on Caleb Williams after his very up-and-down rookie season, I think that the view around the rest of the league on him is extremely high. I think around the league, coaches and GMs of other teams and in Halas Hall see the same guy and the same potential that they saw going into the draft, just in a class by himself among those prospects. Now, Jaden Daniels obviously did a lot this year and is
still doing
is ahead of him.
Yes. Yeah. And he has a chance to go to the Super Bowl as a rookie.
Jaden Daniels is ahead of him, but I don't know that everybody around the league who has to make career decisions based on it thinks that Jaden Daniels will always be ahead of Caleb Williams. But beyond Caleb Williams, Patrick, Ben Johnson made a really interesting comment about the Bears and said going into the season, they were the team that he was really worried about in the NFC North. And it's a backhanded way of him pointing out how much this roster underachieved by going 5-12. He clearly sees a lot in the quarterback, not only in the talent, but then the opportunity to build around him because he's in his rookie window. But he also sees a roster that he could do a lot with.
Yeah, and he said that, you know, the defense made it really hard for the Lions to run in 2023. And when you combine that with the quarterback and some of those offensive pieces, he was really worried about it. And I think that as an offensive guy, you know, he can look around and see Rome Odunze and DJ Moore and Cole Kmet and Caleb Williams, all of whom, by the way, stopped whatever they were doing in their offseason and came to watch and meet Ben Johnson
today. Yeah, some of them flew here.
Yeah. DJ Moore was at Disneyland.
I think Caleb was in Jacksonville where he does a lot of training.
Right, and they all came to pay their respects today. I think it's a good place to start. And you look at some of these other jobs, Jason. You know, the Raiders have a couple of good tight ends and no quarterback. The Jaguars have a decent quarterback and one good receiver. The cupboard might be bare here by when you compare it to playoff teams, but the Bears compared to the other teams in the market for a head coach have an embarrassment of riches, I think.
Yeah, Kevin Warren had said coming into it that this would be the most coveted job of the ones that were open, and I wasn't sure about that at the time, but he turned out to be right. One of the big questions was that would have prevented it from being the most coveted job was it's the Bears, and it's kind of, there's some whiff of dysfunction here between Poles and Warren and George McCaskey. And you saw how the three of them collectively really fumbled their firing of Matt Eberflus that created this job opening. Ben Johnson said that he through the Zoom calls and everything, felt very comfortable with the structure here and felt very comfortable working with Ryan Poles. But as if you set that part of it aside, you set aside the allure of Tom Brady turning the Raiders into a serious organization, or, you know, if you have preferences on where you live or something like that, if you just look at the opportunity, some of these are good opportunities. Jaguars, good opportunity. Raiders, good opportunity, actually, surprisingly, usually isn't, but the Raiders have so much cap space. The Bears, Pet, brought to the table in their recruiting effort the best combination of existing talent plus resources. A roster that Ben Johnson is sitting here telling you on Wednesday should not have been a 5-12 team last year. And we don't think it should have been a 5-12 team last year. Matt Eberflus drove that thing into a ditch. And you've got 60-something million dollars in cap space. That's the fifth most in the league. And you've got three picks in the first two rounds. I think they're like 10, 39, and 41. That is the best combination of existing assets and building materials of any of these jobs. It's better than what New England could offer. It's better than what the Raiders could offer and the Jaguars. And then some of the other teams are really in bad shape, like the Jets and the Saints.
Do you think that he's concerned about alignment? You know, he mentioned that all he really needed to do was find out that he could trust Ryan Poles as a person. You know, he and Poles both pointed out that they had, you know, commonalities in their past. Jason, they used the same cubicle, a year apart, as grad assistants at Boston College. But it's one thing to kind of get to know somebody on a Zoom meeting, which, as we all know, isn't real life, and another to kind of take a leap of faith. This feels to me like, I'm sure, as we sit here right now, I'm sure he and Ryan Poles have implicit trust in each other. I think that's more of an act of faith than it is anything that's been earned.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But if you look at Ben Johnson's actions and his words over the last few years, you see the jobs that he's turned down, the situations that he has had no interest interviewing for, like Carolina.
Right.
And then you listen to what he has said about that. It was interesting to read some quotes from him, I believe, in the Detroit Free Press last year, talking about being so selective and saying, I see these guys that take these jobs. You see 8 jobs open every year, and you're like, how many of those guys are going to make it past 3 years? How many of those guys are going to get to a second contract? He very clearly didn't want to just take a head coaching job to accelerate his career, to reach that level and get that prestige. I think that the starting point for him has always been looking at what roster, what quarterback, what salary cap and draft situation gives me the best opportunity to succeed. And that's a good way to look at it, by the way, because the Jets could throw all kinds of money at you, but you're going to make more money in the long run getting to a second contract with the Bears or the Raiders or whoever, or the Patriots. And I think that that's his starting point, is from a football standpoint, where can I win? And he's looking at a Bears roster that he thinks is better than 5-12, a quarterback that he thinks has sky-high potential, and he's saying, that's where I have the best chance to not just win right away, but win for a while. And then from there, I've got a checklist.
Right.
What's going on up top? What's the pay? You know, what's the GM situation? And Pat, I mean, there's no doubt that Ryan Poles is on watch right now. When your boss, when the president, the Bears president, has to come out and say, Kevin Warren says, we fully back Ryan Poles, he's not getting fired. They're only going to say that one time.
Right.
If that comes up again, you're out. And I'm sure there's probably some thought in Ben Johnson's mind of he's going to get more than 1 year, whether Ryan Poles does or not.
Yeah, right.
And if they're having to reset at GM after 2025, I would imagine that Ben Johnson would have a strong voice in that conversation.
I think Ryan Poles needed a win. I think Kevin Warren has been trying to get a stadium built here for almost 2 years, needed a win. And I think both of them, as we sit here today, got a win. That doesn't mean that Ben Johnson's guaranteed to work out. In fact, if he doesn't, this won't be a victory at all. But they've... They've won the offseason, Jason. Tell me if that sounds familiar.
It does.
I think we learned last year that having an exciting offseason doesn't mean diddly once the game start. But boy, they got their man, and they got the man that I think most people around football would have had at the top of their list too.
They're making moves that are hard to argue with. Yeah. As George McCaskey said, you know, that sometimes the popular choice is the right choice. Who was sitting there saying they shouldn't draft Caleb Williams? Who was sitting there saying, well, I'd really, if you could get Mike McCarthy instead of Ben Johnson, that'd be better. No, they did what everyone wanted them to do. And when you talk about going from 5-12 to contending for a playoff spot this year, which is absolutely what needs to happen for them, the fastest way to get there, I don't want to call it a shortcut, but it is the fastest way to get there, is to get Caleb Williams going. And what are the two things you could do for Caleb Williams to make that happen, Patrick?
Get him a play caller who won't leave.
Get him a competent play calling head coach who will be dialed into him. Yeah. And the second being, give him an offensive line.
Give him a line. And this guy's
You fix those things, right, and now you got Caleb cooking. Right. That is your fast track to contending. What are you going to say about their O-line?
The Lions' O-line is the reason why Ben Johnson has a head coaching job, probably. Right. It's one of the best in the league. And Ben said this a couple of times. By the way, we got to figure out what we're going to call him shorthand. Is it Ben? You know, Eberflus was Flus. Thomas Brown was TB. You can't go initials with this guy,
I
don't, right?
Well, no. Wow. I just call those people by their first name.
Okay.
I never called anybody Flus or...
When we were talking, you'd be like,
no,
you didn't say, what time is Matt having a press conference? You go, when's Flus?
I think I would say Matt. Yeah.
Anyway, but Ben said this a couple of different times, that football used to be about who took the ball away more.
Mm-hmm.
And the losing team was the team that threw the most interceptions. And it's now, who's got the better quarterback? And how dynamic is the quarterback, with or without takeaways? And I think that there's no greater example of that than the fact that I think the Bears had their fewest giveaways in 30 years this season. And they were horrible. It used to be maybe 10, 15 years ago, he said that was the way to win games. And now you need to develop your quarterback to the utmost degree, and you need to play almost, what was the quote? Kind of, you have to play almost disrespectfully against the other team. Did you catch that?
No.
One of the Bears executives, I forget who, was saying that, you know, at the end of the game, you go shake everybody's hand, but, oh, it was Caleb. Caleb said
you want the other team to feel like you've embarrassed them.
Yes, right. Yeah. Yeah. And that's the way to get there. And, you know, if you believe that, then Ben Johnson's, you know, the guy who gives you the best chance of getting there.
They just haven't had a lot of production at quarterback, where Caleb Williams has such an up and down season. Patton has these games where it's like, well, is he even going to get to 200 yards today? And he still sets the franchise, or close to the franchise record. He's in like the top five passing yardage seasons ever for the Bears. I mean, that tells you where they've been. And even in the games where Justin Fields didn't have a lot of turnovers, you're still like, man, is he going to throw for more than like 140 yards? They're not getting production there. Ben Johnson comes in as a guy who has a lot of expertise in the running game. Mm-hmm. But, and then that may be what powers them, and it's what powers Detroit. But then when they do pass, it's high efficiency, high production. And that's where they got to get with Caleb Williams.
Jared Goff, over the last 3 years, has more touchdown passes than anybody walking the earth. The Lions in the last 3 years have the most yards, and the Lions in the last 3 years have the most points. That speaks for itself, especially when you want to talk about dynamic quarterback play. Jared Goff is not at the top of the list in physical tools. He's not the quarterback that I think if the Lions had an opening today, I don't know how many coordinators would flock to Jared Goff. And now the fact that Ben Johnson gets to try to do this with somebody who's raw tools, and I'm saying raw tools, are beyond what Jared Goff's were, I think is really exciting.
Well, I think, and give Caleb Williams credit for this too, that he wants to learn.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is an excellent opportunity for him, and credit to him that he doesn't feel like I've already arrived. I already know all these things. He is eager to be properly coached, because there is no way he was properly coached this year, Pat. I don't think that those little meetings in Matt Eberflus's office that they showed on Hard Knocks were really all that helpful and instructive to Caleb Williams. And Shane Waldron gets fired after what, how many months of running things poorly in a way that the players were complaining openly about. This is them getting him a guy that will take him theoretically to the next level. And you have a guy in Caleb Williams who knows that he needs it.
Yeah.
And he is very eager to be coached hard and to be taught new things and to have somebody like Ben Johnson come in and steer him onto the right track.
Caleb was here today, by the way. He was still had the cast on, said there was nothing to worry about. He had had that cyst removed the other day. He came here dressed like Morpheus from The Matrix.
Yeah.
Long black trench coat.
Black leather trench coat.
Yeah, new haircut. But I actually felt bad from Jason. At some point he said, we want to make sure that coach is our coach for a long time. And you're sitting there going, this franchise has already put its stink on Caleb to where Caleb says, boy, my goal is to not get another coach fired. And you go, oh, man, it's you contrast that with this is a guy who on draft day was saying that they were never going to punt. And now he's sitting there going, boy, it'd be great if we were good enough that they would keep this guy around for a couple of years. I just felt bad about that. Jason, did he?
Well, it's kind of an epidemic in their locker room, Pat, when you have these guys like Cole Kmet, Jalen Johnson, that, by the way, they're not rookies. They're on second contracts. They've been here for a while. All they know is losing.
DJ Moore. All he knows is losing.
All they know are coach gets fired. We lose again. We do it again. And this is now in 13 years, in 13 Januaries, this is their fifth coaching search. I mean, that's way too often. And that's what Caleb Williams was worried about coming here. That was one of the things when he said, hey, I got some questions about the Bears. You know, that history plays into it.
When Ben Johnson talks about how this was where he wanted to go, do you think that happens if the Bears don't fire Matt Eberflus the day after Thanksgiving? Do you think that broadcasting it the way they did enabled not only the Bears to move faster because they could do homework more out in the open, but also do you think it planted the seed with Ben Johnson 2 months ago that not only it's not just this job may come open, but this job is coming open?
Yeah, I think it was a serious way to operate for them in a lot of ways. And one of them being to not delay something that was inevitable. Mm-hmm. There's no shot. I think they were already tilted toward firing Matt Eberflus before that Thanksgiving game. And that solidified it to a point where there is no chance they bring this guy back for 2025. Mm-hmm. So why delay it?
Right.
And it allows them to really get working full speed. You can't be contacting coaches' agents about a job that's not vacant yet because word's going to get around, and then that's really bad. That's really dysfunctional. I think you're right, though, that it did give Ben Johnson some time to seriously consider that, because you'd have to think when they made that move, one of their first calls or texts or emails or whatever was to his agent, Rick Smith, to let him know, like, hey, get Ben thinking about this. And, you know, Ben Johnson dodged the question Wednesday basically about what his interest level was in this job a year ago. If the Bears had fired Matt Eberflus after the 2023 season, and there was more cause to fire him than to keep him at that point, and that job was available going into the draft, knowing going in that you had the number one pick, that you would be taking Caleb Williams with that pick, Ben Johnson dodged answering whether he would have been interested in it in that time. But I think it's pretty clear that he would have been.
Yeah, well, what he said, and I didn't see it as a dodge. I thought it was a little more genuine than that, was that he said that once they lost to San Francisco, remember, it's a game that they were winning.
They fell apart.
They fell apart at the end.
They were, what, a quarter and a half away from going to the Super Bowl
they
or something?
5 minutes away, probably. And that he was not in a place emotionally to make a decision about his future.
I don't believe him.
And to the point to where the Commanders were flying to interview him, and he said, I don't want to do it.
I don't believe him.
The Commanders had the number two pick in the draft. The Bears had the number one. Do you think that, you really think that that he would have composed himself enough to run to take the Bears job?
Yes.
Okay.
He also, part of what made it feel like a dodge to me was he said, well, that job wasn't open at the time.
Hey, Jason, Have you considered Jim Harbaugh for this year's job? Do you know what to say?
Well, the job's not open.
Jim Harbaugh's coach of the University of Michigan. Same idea. Yeah, you can't be put on the spot if there's not a firing beforehand. Jason, before we go, did anything else grab you from our various conversations with the Bears front office guys?
Well, first, Ben Johnson must have watched all the previous press conferences of the introductory press conferences for the coaches, because he knew to step right to the microphone and take a shot at Green Bay. That's a tradition around here, making empty threats toward the Packers that will then blow up in your face when you don't deliver on them. But he said one of his reasons he wanted to stay in this division was because he so enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year. What stood out to me the most, I think, is just the you asked me, I'm not answering the question that you asked because you asked about their executives, but what I kind of think of Caleb Williams as one of their executives because of the power that he holds in this organization. If you look at the people with the most power here, it's George McCaskey, Kevin Warren, Ryan Poles, now Ben Johnson, and Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is one of those major power players in the organization and is the most important person in the organization when it comes to winning football games, for sure. Caleb's eagerness, his the way he celebrated this hire, screaming in his car, and his eagerness to be coached properly. I can't stress this enough, that this guy came in with the pedigree of being the number one pick in the draft, the long foreseen number one pick in the draft, the guy that people talked about for a couple of years saying in 2024, this guy will be the top pick in the draft.
The Bears traded the number one pick the year before, thinking that there might be a chance that they get Caleb Williams.
Exactly. Yeah. And you hear him saying, he comes in with that ability and that pedigree, and you just cannot make it clear enough how much he was mismanaged as a rookie.
Right.
Just at a time when the Bears were trying to get everything right, they got it so wrong. Trusting Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron and their staff at large with this guy, and in Ryan Poles, on Ryan Poles' side of the ledger, putting him behind an offensive line that was totally unfit,
right,
totally unsuitable. Those things can change now, and I think that it's them establishing this coach quarterback, this play caller quarterback connection is huge, because if it works, it will be in place for a long time. This isn't going to be if Shane Waldron had magically worked or Thomas Brown had worked as the offensive coordinator for Caleb, then you have to worry about, are they going to leave next year for a head coaching job? They got a guy that if it works can be here Caleb's entire career.
Yep. Maybe longer. Jason, if we went 10 years without a coaching search, I don't think either of us would complain.
I'd take like 4 years without a coaching search.
That happened once. That happened once around
That's
here.
It's rare.
Jason, we will be back later to talk more Bears. But until then, you can follow Jason, Mark Potash, and myself on social media. Check us out on the Sun-Times website, on the app. And if you live in town, please buy a newspaper. He's Jason Leisure. I'm Pat Finley. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back again real soon.